Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for their fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Kumho Majesty 9 Solus TA91. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, suspension, just to name a few. Go to TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen.
It's up, it's up.
And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
This is Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre.
What is up, Straight Fire fam? It's me, Jason McIntyre, Straight Fire. For Monday, December 12th, it was quite a weekend, ladies and gentlemen. Super busy on the sports front, personal, and obviously NFL, World Cup. I thought I could work in an Austin Reeves saves the Lakers against the Detroit Pistons reference, but alas, we'll have to wait for a few days later than today to talk about the NBA. Yes, I woke up this morning to a barrage of tweets. Did you see what Taylor Twelman said? Did you see Taylor Twelman? He rebutted what you had said about the U.S. soccer team. What do you say? Every time I clicked on a profile this morning, it's somebody who doesn't follow me. Just some random jabroni who is a soccer fan, saw what I said about the Gio Reyna stuff. We'll get to that later in the podcast. Yes, I read what Twelman said. We'll get to it. We do have to start, obviously, with not my son's volleyball tournament. They finally lost a game. The incredible run was over. They lost in the semifinals over the weekend. I'm not going to start with the soccer, which was amazing on Friday. Literally, Argentina, Netherlands was maybe the greatest like final 30 minutes and overtime and PKs that I've seen in soccer ever. It was an outstanding finish to the match. Luckily, I was on Argentina. Did not get as fortunate with Brazil getting bounced. We've got soccer tomorrow. We'll do some best bets for Monday Night Football as well as Argentina against Croatia. I got a good buddy who I've known out here in LA for probably 5 years. The biggest Croatia fan I know, goes to the World Cup if Croatia's in it. And, you know, he's beyond geeked about how they've performed at the World Cup. But obviously, it's a Monday. So we're going to start with the NFL. And I'm really loath to dive into silly discussions that I don't think carry any weight or matter. But for some reason, Tua versus Justin Herbert became a thing. And it was so embarrassingly not a thing Sunday night at the game. Now, listen, I should probably open with the gambling, as this was back-to-back very, very, very good weekends on the front. I went 5-0 in the contest. If you parlayed them, I put the picks out on Instagram, as I do every week. Saturday, the picks are due by, 1 p.m. Pacific, so I put them out there on IG. If you parlay them, some people tell me they parlay and tease. If you parlay and tease them, you smash the ball out of the park, and you're getting a lot of new Christmas presents. My first 5-0 of the season, 12-3 run. Folks, I've gone from, there's like 4,200 people, I think, in this contest. I went from 1,700 to 324th. I'll probably slip a little bit tonight when somebody wins Monday Night Football. But it's been a good run. I just need to do it again if I want to get anywhere near the money. But this, just to open with the Chargers and Dolphins, this Tua stuff is getting silly. Everybody thought, including myself, oh, he'll bounce back. I just had the Chargers getting the points. I thought Tua would bounce back and be good, and he was anything but. And if you're a Miami Dolphins fan, not only are you quiet because your guy, Tua, was a woeful 10 for 28 for a buck 45. They were never in this football game. If not for a fluky Tyreek Hill fumble return for touchdown. Yes, Tyreek Hill with a fumble return. And one Tyreek Hill bomb. Miami could generate no offense whatsoever. Folks, they had one wide receiver making plays, Tyreek Hill, and he got hurt. Jalen Waddle, two catches, 31 yards. Brandon Staley, who has taken a ton of heat in the last month, coached defensively one of his best games of the season. We saw a lot of press coverage on the Dolphins' speedy receivers, really jammed them up, and the Chargers were able to get at Tua with pressure despite not having Bosa, despite not having one of the best safeties in the league in Derwin James. The press coverage really rattled Tua and McDaniel. And fun fact, the Miami Dolphins ran a grand total of zero plays in Chargers territory until the final drive. The Tua fumble, if you guys remember, Wilson peeled off a big run, fumbles, and then Hill scoop and score 50-something yards. And then there was the Hill bomb for the touchdown. They didn't run any plays in Chargers territory until the final drive of the game, which you could argue was garbage time since they were down 9. Okay? So, you know, we expected Tua to struggle against the Miami, we expected Tua and the offense to struggle against the Niners last week. Check. We thought he would bounce back. They stayed on the West Coast. We've been talking about this three-game stretch for Miami for a good while now. All right, we may have even mentioned in the preseason. The Chargers was supposed to be a bounce-back spot. This is not a very good Chargers team. The Miami Dolphins were favored all week. And Tua laid a massive, colossal egg. And meanwhile, Justin Herbert, the quarterback who beat him, was simply phenomenal. 39 of 51 for 367 yards, a touchdown, 7.2 yards per attempt. This is my favorite stat. According to Next Gen Stats, Herbert completed 13 passes on the run, and they're deeming on the run 8 miles an hour or greater. Those 13 passes, two more than any other player has had in a game in 6 years. Essentially, Miami blitzed the hell out of Herbert, and they did get to him 4 times, 4 sacks. They hit him 7 times. They got after him. Bradley Chubb had a solid game. Christian Wilkins was impactful inside. The problem is Herbert and his frame and his speed can escape anything, can absorb hits, and then still throw dimes, darts, lasers. I think this hopefully has sealed whatever nonsense was going on out there. People blathering about, oh, Herbert's not that good and Tua's better. Like, it's just, you know, I'm loath to use the word clickbait, but it feels like somebody or some fan base desperate to get in there. Oh, well, Tua beat up on a bunch of bad teams. Yeah, look at him. Remember, he was an MVP candidate 4 weeks ago? Let's be realistic. Tua's not in the same class as Justin Herbert. And now if you're Miami, all of a sudden, it's like, whoa, 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 let's stop focusing on Tua and let's kind of right the ship here. Suddenly, losers of 2 straight, only 8-5. Fortunately for Miami, the Jets also lost, although they showed well against the Bills. Miami now 8-5, and all of a sudden, forget the Tua stuff. Forget beating the Browns without Deshaun and the Texans and the Bears and the Lions and the Steelers. Let's focus on your own team here. Forget about the quarterback. You've got to now go to Buffalo Saturday night on the road. Bills in a revenge spot. And if you watch the Bills Jets closely, you know this. The Bills were basically 3 yards in a cloud of dust in the fourth quarter once they got some separation from the Jets. They did not cover against the Jets, by the way. The Bills are saving a lot for this game. This is going to be a tough one for Tua. And after that, it doesn't totally ease up. They do get the Packers at home, but then they have to go back to the Northeast. It's going to be cold on New Year's Day against the Patriots. And they close out with the Jets in what could be a game that has a playoff implications. We'll see. The Jets are extremely beat up. But so it's put to rest now. Tua, he's not an MVP candidate. Tua, We don't even know if he can lead Miami to the playoffs. And let's be realistic. Beating up on really bad teams, a bunch of teams that are not headed to the playoffs. The Dolphins win looks legit in hindsight because Miami's been playing well. But that defense is nothing great. We know this. Come on. Tua's struggling right now. And you've got to wonder how wobbly the confidence is after what happened to him in an island game against a Chargers team missing their two best defensive players. No bueno. But speaking of struggling quarterbacks, Baltimore Ravens went into their Steelers game with their backup because Lamar's out, and the backup got hurt. Anthony Brown got the job done, got us the cover. We don't know who's starting for the Ravens this week. They're in the playoff mix. Russell Wilson, listen, I know that people were clowning him when they were down 27-0, as they should. He threw a terrible pick six. But Russell Wilson fought hard. Denver fought back. Denver actually hit it over. I did not do well in the totals this week. I'll be avoiding the totals. I thought I maybe had something with December and bad weather and divisional matchups. No, not good. Russell Wilson performed well until he got KO'd on a brutal hit. You see his head slow motion hit the ground. He looked out, then his eyes opened, and they looked totally glazed. And I was like, oh, get him out of there. And I don't think Russell Wilson, my guess is he's going to want to come back, but they would be smart to not let him come back. Speaking of backup quarterbacks, Mike White, taken to the hospital after the Jets lost to the Bills. Mike White, a hero. And I'm not going to do it here because the Jets lost. If they had won, I would have opened the podcast with it. But I'll tell you right now, Mike White won over a lot of people. I had multiple fans of teams who are not the Jets, guys I'm friends with, being like, yo, Mike White, this guy's tough. I like it. I mean, Mike White is taking body shots from Tyson, okay? He got knocked out literally of the game. Like, he got hit so hard he had to come off the field. Joe Flacco comes in. Then he got hit later, like folded over, bent. It looked like, remember when Andrew Luck took that really violent shot inside the 10? And he tried to tough it out and played. And they were like, oh, basically what happened to his body was a kidney laceration. This is the, you get that kind of impact on your kidney in like a car accident. And then Andrew Luck had to miss a bunch of games. So I'm a little nervous about Mike White bouncing back instantly, but Mike White was heroic in Buffalo despite the loss. And I know some people are going to be like, you're an idiot. You can't be heroic in defeat. Yes, you can. Go watch the highlights on YouTube. Mike White was dealing. Garrett Wilson was cooking up Tre'Davious White. Corey Davis, before he got hit, left the game with an injury. Corey Davis had a good game. The tight end can't block me. Coming off the edge, he struggled, Conklin. Jets are fighters. They have Detroit at home this week. I'll tell you right now, I'm already leading to the Jets. Got to see, obviously, the Mike White status. But the backup quarterback of the weekend has to be one Brock Purdy. Tell me if you thought this would ever be an NFL sentence this season, back in week one. Kyle Shanahan pulled Brock Purdy early. Up 35-7, or was it 35-6? Up a million points against Tom Brady. It was 35-7. Against Tom Brady early in the fourth quarter. Brock Purdy. He was pulled. Brock Purdy had one of the best first halves you will see. 14 of 18, 185, two TDs, touchdown run. This was just in the first half. Now this stat, I don't know if this was next-gen stats, but I think it is. Let this sink in for a sec. Listen closely. Purdy threw the first deep pass touchdown this season by the 49ers outside the numbers. Everything else has been middle of the field where we know Shanahan loves and yak him. Short passes, Debo, bye. Brock Purdy just gave you, deep pass TD outside the numbers. That is a new element that previously was not being used by Kyle Shanahan. Obviously, Trey Lance didn't stay healthy enough to be able to make those throws. And Jimmy Garoppolo, I don't think he's trusted to make those throws. Brock Purdy clearly is. Christian McCaffrey caught it. It was a great catch in the end zone. And folks, Brock Purdy's pretty damn good. This 49ers team is now 9-4 with their third-string quarterback. Now, they did lose Debo Samuel to what looks like a pretty nasty ankle injury. regardless, I'm going to go ahead and assume Deebo Samuel probably sitting for the rest of the regular season, right? If it's a high ankle sprain, you don't want to risk it. This is a Super Bowl team. This is a Super Bowl team. I know they've got to go through the Eagles. Cowboys sputtered, but prevailed. Minnesota, we all finally, and the market spoke out heavily against Minnesota. Guys, all week, it was like Detroit, 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 and then Detroit led soup to nuts, beating the Vikings, I don't want to say handily because it was relatively close, but a great performance from the Lions, who are not out of the playoff mix. But you start to see a little, and again, it's 1 week. You don't want to totally bash them. I'm not saying that the Cowboys messing around with the Texans and needing a 98-yard drive in the fourth quarter to win. I'm not saying that Dallas, because of that, is not a contender. But they looked pedestrian. Dak looked marginal. Minnesota's defense looked awful, getting lit up like a Christmas tree by Jared Goff. Holy hell, Goff was good. And for the Niners to be 9-4 on their third backup this season, and you could say, oh, Deebo Samuel went out. Damn it. All right, you know what? We're going to hand the ball to Christian McCaffrey 14 times. He's going to rack up 119 yards. Every time McCaffrey had a run, 8.5 yards per carry. Holes all over the place. And oh, by the way, I've barely mentioned the opponent. It's Tampa Bay. One of the top defenses in the NFC. The NFC is a flat-out joke, ladies and gentlemen. Tampa Bay cannot get anything right. Tom Brady was horrendous. I know he 34 or 55. The numbers, oh, two interceptions, but 253 yards. Look at the average. 4.6 yards per pass. 4.6! Brock Purdy, 8.8. Brady cannot throw the ball down the field. He's struggling. And, you know, I know there was a report from Ian Rappaport about where Brady's going to be playing next year. They're 6-7. I think deep down Brady knows this is no Super Bowl team. I think Todd Bowles knows, shit, man. What am I going to my owner with that I take over a Super Bowl team from 2 years ago that lost in the playoffs with, I'm going to go ahead and guess, 85% of the same starters? I know Gronk missing and Antonio Brown missing, but like Tristan Wirfs was down. But folks, I'm not even sold that Tampa's going to win their home playoff game. I thought, okay, they'll probably get Dallas, and I think Tampa can win that. I don't know that they can win that game. Tampa Bay does not look good at all. And again, they had to expend a lot of energy Monday, coming back late to beat the Saints. Then it was a short week to play the best defense in the league. San Francisco is a bad, badass group of teams. Does that even make sense? The 49ers, basically, best defense in the league. And good luck if you're facing them in cold weather and you can't mix it up on the ground or through the air. And if you fall behind 14-0 because of the defense or 17-0, it's over. I mean, this is a feeding frenzy. San Fran is an awesome team. Brock Purdy, super duper impressive.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from the Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over three whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Other NFL notes that I think are kind of worthy. Cincinnati Bengals, quietly, right? Browns took money all week. Deshaun Watson does not look good. Cincinnati struggled. We saw that big... So 0-0, and for whatever reason, Cleveland does the stupid thing where you run into the punter, and it was like when the punter was inside his own 10-yard line. So instead of great field position, you get automatic first down, and you know what happens like, what, 6-7 plays later? Touchdown, Bengals. Browns never really recovered. Bad read by me. Thankful that I did not put them in the contest. It's interesting because that Pittsburgh game, and again, I forgot to mention, they lost Kenny Pickett to a concussion. Trubisky came in, and remember, I think I told you guys, I want the Ravens. If you had told me, Jason, Tyler Huntley is going to get injured, and the backup quarterback for the Ravens is going to have to finish the final three quarters, I would have said, who is the backup quarterback for the Ravens? The third stringer's name is Anthony Brown. And I was like, at first glance, I don't know that name. But then I look it up. He played at Oregon, extremely limited as a passer. And basically Harbaugh said, we're going to ride the defense to glory. Don't do anything stupid, Mr. Brown. Get us home. And of course, they just keep it simple. Brown does very little work. They kick another Justin Tucker field goal, locks it up. It's never pretty with the Ravens, but they're 9-4. So now I think it's pretty clear Ravens and Bengals are going to the playoffs, and the Jets are going to be battling it out for the wild card. That Chargers win was massive for Brandon Staley's job security. And by the way, yes, Staley, he was excellent in shutting down the Miami high-octane offense. The other team in the AFC, real quick, that was interesting was Jacksonville. Now, I did put them in the contest. They were, it seemed like, the side all week. I'm guessing a lot of people did well because teams that took money this week did a damn good job. Jacksonville, now they were struggling early, but Tennessee kept turning the ball over. A rare Derrick Henry fumble. I think there was a Tannehill pick. They got they had an interception go right through a guy's hands, and then Zay Jones catches it in the end zone for a touchdown. Bizarre stuff. But Jacksonville, keep an eye on them. They're only two games behind Tennessee. I don't think they're totally done. Denver officially eliminated from playoff contention. I think we can put the final nail in Mr. Nathaniel Hackett's coffin. Not a ton happening in the NFC. I think right now, honestly, besides the Eagles locking up a playoff spot with a... I'm telling you, they were up 21-0, like, basically before my pizza arrived. You guys know I love that halftime pizza. It was over. The Giants were never close, and I'm just telling you guys, I did like the Giants. I have some futures on them to make the playoffs. They started 7-2. They're now 7-5-1. Last six games, New York Giants have one win, four losses, and a tie. I'm sorry. Yeah, four losses, one tie. That's only five games. Did I mess up my notes? They were 7-2. Yes. Okay. From 7-2 to 7-5-1. And now, trying to hold off the Detroit Lions in the wild card hunt. I'm not even going to talk about the NFC South. Thank you, though, Panthers and Sammy Darnold, for crawling within one game of the Bucs. Right now, if you had to ask me, I don't think anybody's a believer in Seattle. They're now 0-4 against the spread in their last four games. You can see the lack of running game really hurts him. A lot of pressure on Geno Smith to deliver. And we know, folks, Geno Smith, he does not deliver. All right. I wanted to try to make a case because I'm firing hot here in the NFL. I would love to look at next week's schedule briefly and give you a read on some of the games I'm looking at. Here's the problem. I looked at the schedule. It is brutal. Number one, no teams on a bye. That's supposed to be good news. But you got three games on Saturday. Colts-Vikings, that's Vikings or nothing for me. Ravens-Browns, I don't know who the quarterback is going to be for Baltimore. And then Dolphins-Bills, I'm sorry, I would love the Bills, but man, I thought Miami would bounce back against the Chargers and then you'd be able to easily pound the Bills. But you guys know I've talked about this, and it's just a simple metric. Teams that did not cover the week prior versus teams that did. Well, just a couple of them from week 14. Jets did not cover the week before against Minnesota. Bills did. The Jets covered. Texans-Cowboys. Ravens-Steelers. Now, the two that did not hit are interesting. San Fran-Tampa. Remember, Tampa did not cover on Monday Night Football. It's 35-0. San Fran. I actually believe that San Francisco's a little undervalued with Brock Purdy. We will see this week, though. They go on the road. This is going to be a super interesting game. San Francisco, Thursday Night Football at Seattle. So now you've got Brock Purdy on a short week. 49ers feeling themselves for easily dispatching Tom Brady at home. Now you've got to go Brock Purdy first road start, but I just look to the defense of the 49ers. Are you kidding me? How is Seattle going to move the football on these guys? Do you remember the earlier meeting? It was one of the easiest bets of the season. Everybody loves Seattle. They couldn't do anything. They had a fake, I think it was a fake field goal or a blocked field goal touchdown, something wacky on special teams. The offense could do nothing. Geno Smith against D'Amico Ryans. I don't know how you bet Seattle here. A lot of people are going to want Seattle, but I think it's got to be San Fran. And then the other one for did not cover versus did, Chiefs-Broncos. One of probably Denver's craziest game of the season. They were down 27-0 midway through the second quarter. I would love to see data on teams that lead by 27 that are favored by single digits. How often do they cover? Just going to guess it's 75% at least. 27-0? And you don't cover? Now, it was on the road. Mahomes threw a couple dumb interceptions. Denver did Denver things. Just craziness. And they did not look good. It was like Kansas City stopped trying, essentially. Kansas City, this week, they are... Let's see who they're facing. Ooh. At the Houston Texans. It's a hard pass. At any rate, I've already looked at them for this week. And obviously, that's pending tonight's outcome. Browns did not cover. Ravens did. If it's third stringer versus Deshaun, you gotta take Deshaun, right? Steelers did not cover. Panthers did. Is it Trubisky? I don't know that I can back Trubisky on the road. Carolina's defense is actually kind of good. Cowboys did not cover. Jaguars did. That's a really interesting game because this Jags team seems like it's good. I'm starting to feel Trayvon Walker. The secondary, I don't want to say they're headhunting, but if you guys remember the Chiefs game, they were looking to hurt people. And that defense put, I think it was Quarterman, the linebacker, put arguably the strongest hit I've ever seen on Derrick Henry. Henry kind of spun out of the first tackle right into 50. Quarterman, who left his feet, drilled Henry, de-cleated him, and he dropped the ball. Huge turnover. Jags are feisty, but did not cover means you should look at Dallas. Chiefs did not cover. Houston Texans did. I haven't seen a big adjustment, and that's really the crux of this did not cover versus did. You're going to lay 14 with Kansas City after they did not cover 9.5 in Denver. Back-to-back road games. Titans did not cover. Chargers did. I think you have to really, really look hard at the Tennessee Titans, but who wants that? The fans of the Titans going to travel well to LA in the middle of December? That'll be interesting. Chargers, you love them as a dog. Be careful as a favorite. And finally, Tampa Bay, Cincinnati. Cincinnati favored by 3.5 at home. Remember, this is a bad Tampa Bay team. They had the Monday night game. Then they flew across the country for San Fran. They got beat up. Now they got to go home and then back to Cincinnati to one of the hottest teams in the league. Oh, I'm sorry. The game is in Tampa. Wow. Cincinnati's favored in Tampa by over a field goal. That is no respect whatsoever. All right, quickly. We talked NFL. I just want to address, obviously the saddest story of the weekend. and not, you guys know I used to be in media as a guy who started a website, and I would interview people in sports media. One of the guys who read the site initially, and I interviewed, I mean, this is way back, was a guy by the name of Grant Wall. He was a big-time basketball writer, and the first time I met him was at the LeBron versus Carmelo Anthony high school basketball game in Jersey. I don't know if you guys remember, but it was televised. LeBron was a junior. Carmelo was a senior. And at the time, it was being hyped as, holy cow, these are the two next best superstars. And LeBron got the better of him. And Grant Wall was there to do a takeout on LeBron. It would end up being the chosen one SI cover of LeBron when he was like 16 or 17, whatever it was. And Grant Wall was the nicest guy. So then I was covering at a newspaper in Jersey at the time, sports, and I went and covered that game. It was fun. Then I start covering soccer, Metro Stars, and some U.S. soccer, and I ran into Grant Wall, and he was just the nicest guy, super friendly. He moved from SI to, I think he did TV with Fox. He's been a lot of places. He decided, I'm not going to write about basketball. I'm going to go all in on soccer and become the soccer guy. So he died covering the World Cup on Friday. He was in the press box. I think it was second half or penalties of Argentina and Netherlands. And apparently he collapsed. And they tried to do CPR, they rushed him to the hospital, and nothing could be done. Now, this guy's like 49. I think he just turned 49 in Qatar. He's healthy. And obviously, there was rampant speculation, and I don't think that's going to stop about what happened. But it was one of those moments where I heard about this. I got a text from somebody, do you know Grant Wall? I was like, yeah. Why? Like, I heard he just died. And I was floored, like literally floored. What? This is a young dude. What the hell? And I had this weird thing Friday night, guys. I was in a real funk. I was like, died at the World Cup? You know, he doesn't have kids. He has a wife. It's just like, it was one of those moments where you're just thinking about your mortality. And it's like, well, you're gone. That's it. Done. Over. Don't get to say bye, no formal goodbyes. You're just gone. At 49. Got so much life left. And I had one of those just, it was like a weird, tough couple hours. I mean, I've had some other people close-ish to me pass away, and it, you know, obviously hits hard. But this guy was like pretty much healthy in his 40s and just died. It was weird. I don't know. So obviously prayers up to his family, his wife. And, you know, there were a million tributes out there. I would just suggest go reading some of them. I don't even want to recommend one because I'm sure I'll miss out on some great ones. But a lot of people, he's known a lot of people, and it's universal. He's a great guy. He was a great human being. Great soccer writer, great person. And it got, I actually thought about it, and I know this is so macabre for a Monday morning. What if I died? What? You kind of wonder what would people say about you? I'm sure the angry haters on Twitter, I don't really care about them. But it's like, you know, your friends, you want to leave a lasting imprint on people and their kids and just help people, be nice, all the easy cliche stuff. I don't know. I just kind of spiraled there Friday. It was weird. But I guess it happens, right? Even though I haven't talked to this guy in years, I mean, it's over a decade since I've talked to him. But it was just, I don't know. For the dads out there, it was one of those moments. It was just very sad and depressing.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings variant are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Let's wrap up this part with some World Cup picks for... Well, now, you know, before I do World Cup, let me quickly address this Taylor Twellman thing. Okay, so Sunday... What was it? Sunday night. I see my... there was fireworks in the South Bay, so, you know, we're hanging out with friends. I'm watching the game on the phone, and I start getting some texts. Did you see this? What you said on... Some of the stuff you said on the podcast, kind of interesting. And it's getting a lot of pickup because the story's out on ESPN. Sources, USA almost sent home midfielder Giovanni Reyna during the World Cup. Now, we had Eric Winalda on at that. When we had him on, I had no intel as to what happened. Obviously, US gets eliminated. People start talking. And you hear stuff. According to this report, and this started because U.S. manager Greg Berhalter was at some moral leadership summit in New York, and I guess like 3 or 4 days later, his comments were published in some newsletter in which he said the U.S. had a player that was clearly not meeting expectations on and off the field. One of 26 players, so it stood out. As a staff, we sat together for hours deliberating what we were going to do with this player. We were ready to book a plane ticket home. That's how extreme it was. Now, let that sink in for a sec. They were going to send him home. And Berhalter went on to say, what it came down to was, we're going to have one more conversation with him. And part of that conversation was how we're going to behave from here on out. There aren't going to be any more infractions. But the other thing we said to him was, you're going to have to apologize to the group, but it's going to have to say why you're apologizing. It's going to have to go deeper than, guys, I'm sorry. And I prepped the leadership group with this. I said, okay, this guy's going to apologize to you as a group, to the whole team. Berhalter at the time during this leadership conference did not mention Reyna. MLSsoccer.com was the first to mention it was Reyna. And The Athletic went on to say Reyna was nearly sent home because of poor training. I mentioned a lot of this without getting too specific. Because, listen, I've been in this long enough. You break a story, people try to crap all over it. I don't need these headaches. I can allude to a lot of stuff, just as I've done with Kyler Murray on this podcast for the last 3 months, about what's going on in Arizona. I'm not going to get into the super specifics, but then when the story emerges, then I can say everything else I've heard. There is more to Kyler Murray. I just haven't mentioned it because, again, I don't want to... A lot of it revolves around a couple prominent names in Arizona. And if I mention it, those guys are going to get barraged with questions. Though obviously they're going to deny it because you don't want to do that in season. You don't want to make the Kyler Murray the kid look bad. But there's some stuff. So this Reyna situation, what I tweeted Sunday night was, this is exactly what I talked about. Now, just for the doubters and the people who are parachuting into this podcast who want to come after me, when I heard this, I think it was like Tuesday, I mentioned it to a couple guys that I know who are huge soccer players. They had heard nothing. So I even asked them, hey, how closely do you follow Dortmund, where Reyna plays? And they're like, I mean, I follow the team, but I was like, would any reporter know if this kind of stuff was happening there? And that was one of the other things I heard, that this is not like a one-off. He wasn't all of a sudden acting up at camp. This was Reyna carrying over from his attitude at Dortmund, where he's around a couple of the best players in the world. They like him. Is it possible that he sees how they're acting, major stars, and says, well, I'm a major star. I can kind of slack off and be disrespectful and not listen. We've seen this with superstars. Problem is, Reyna hasn't done jack squat for the national team. And Berhalter was right to put him in his place. But this has been going on for a much longer time than just the World Cup. And so, as it's going on at the World Cup, Berhalter eventually said, you know what? Put this to a team vote. And the players had the choice whether Reyna would stay or go. Because apparently, whatever the captains were saying was not getting through to Reyna. And they voted to keep Reyna, and the vote was 13-12. 13-12. It was almost split what the players think of Reyna's attitude and his ego and what the hell his problem is. And so, of course, once I put that out there, all these soccer fans come out of the woodwork. It's like, where did all these people come from? And Taylor Twellman, who's at ESPN, used to know him. He used to, I think we exchanged messages, nothing in like the last 5-10 years. And he comes in and says, whoa, there was no vote among the players, but among the coaching staff there was. And they would never, Berhalter would never ask the players what to do. And let me get the exact wording. He says, I even asked three agents if the players voted on Gio. And that wasn't happened. That's not what happened. The staff voted. Well, I don't anticipate anybody coming out and say, yeah, we voted on Reyna or whether or not he would be sent home. Come on, what do you think? Christian Pulisic is going to step up and say something like that? And you want them to kill Reyna's confidence? Then, if this is ever confirmed, it won't be. Do you really want Reyna looking over his shoulder? Damn, who are the 12 guys who didn't vote for me? Do you think that's going to happen? Of course not. There's no way. Now, what will happen eventually is more details will trickle out, and we're going to find out. Reyna, are you going to fall in line? I thought the smartest thing Eric Winalda said on that entire podcast was Berhalter could move Weah to center forward, where they were getting mostly nothing from Haji Wright, Sargent, Jesus Ferreira, who I loved and championed going into the Cup. Ferreira did freaking nothing in that half that he played against Netherlands. Like, total non-factor. So you move Weah to center forward, you put Reyna at right wing, and then you've got a Pulisic, Weah, Reyna triumvirate, which could be formidable. I don't like the idea of Berhalter trying to teach a lesson to a kid at the World Cup, to one of the best players on the... I don't like that. But on some level, I very, very much respect that Berhalter was pushing back against a superstar whose dad, by the way, has a lot of clout in USA soccer. And he has, because he's been a legend since the mid-90s when he was in Virginia just dominating. Now, I wonder if Claudio Reyna would admit what happened with him and Berhalter several months ago. Berhalter knows who tried to get him shoved out because he knew that this was coming. This has been a long time coming. So I wonder if Berhalter would talk about what he thinks about what's happening with the Reyna family. Berhalter probably wouldn't. And listen, I've been split, guys. I this is, I have no dog in this fight. Yes, I own a stake in a Mexican soccer team in Liga MX. We're having a good off season. Made the playoffs both times since we've taken, our group has been added to the ownership. I love soccer. I'm a fan. I have zero stake in Reyna versus Berhalter. You can look up my old tweets. For 3 weeks, I was calling for more Reyna at the World Cup. And I do I like Berhalter's philosophy of win with defense? I mean, it's tough to argue with what Morocco has done in the World Cup. They haven't given up a freaking goal to world powers like Spain, Croatia, Portugal, called them all off the board, winning with defense. It can be done. And it's pretty clear that's what Berhalter wants to do. Defense is going to be our calling card. It's not great on the eyes. Again, I even said this on social media. Like, I used to coach my kids in soccer, defense first. That's how you win. Other team can't score. They can't beat you. Then you get your fast forward up front and a quick counter and bing, bang, boom. I just don't think Morocco's style is especially aesthetically pleasing. But it's working. And so this Berhalter philosophy is going to be interesting. I don't know. We'll see. It sounds like he's going to survive this. Everything I've heard is they'll be keeping him. But, again, things can change pretty quickly here. Now, U.S. soccer would be dumb to move off of him and not have an ironclad lock in the background. Same thing with the Chargers in the NFL, right? Brandon Staley has been very bad for large portions of the season. They know they have Sean Payton waiting in the wings if they want him. But you don't want to fire Staley without having Sean Payton locked up. Continuity matters. We know this, guys. I'm bullish on the U.S. and the World Cup in 2026. All right. Wrap up with Monday Night Football and my World Cup bets. World Cup bets, man, I got killed on Portugal. It's been a great World Cup financially. Portugal hurt badly. Brazil hurt. Argentina was good. England, I had England winning, but still won money because the props hit. Harry Kane scored. Most goals scored were in the second half. It was a good result, but I was sad for England because, you know, the team left to root for. It's like Messi, England. So what we've got early tomorrow morning is Argentina and then, not the Netherlands, goodness gracious, Argentina, Croatia. Argentina, not as big of a favorite as you'd think. Total is 2. So I think what that's telling me, the market is saying, go be low scoring. Somebody probably wins 1-0. If we learned anything in the quarterfinals, once you get this deep into the tournament, yeah, you'll have outliers. You'll have a Germany 7, Brazil 1. But by and large, defense rules the roost. I mean, you had Brazil scoring, I think, with like 8 minutes, maybe 10 minutes left. And then Croatia answering with about 4 minutes left. Not a ton of offense in that one. Then you look at Portugal, Morocco, one goal around the 42nd mark, and then nothing the rest of the way. So once you get the lead, you just don't want to screw it up. That's what these teams are doing. They're trying to avoid losing. I've got to pick Argentina here, right? I mean, Croatia is the cagey veteran team. Do they run out of gas? Which will be a popular narrative. If you're looking for anytime goal scorer, Lionel Messi, you know, pretty much the greatest soccer player of all time. He's plus 134 to score the first goal. Messi is plus 450. Well, if you think it's going to be 1-0 and you want to have some skin in the game for Messi to deliver, why wouldn't you just take plus 450? Argentina's defense has been extremely sound. I mean, Netherlands did nothing against them until the 83rd minute when they were down 2-0 and it was all out offense. This Croatia defense can lock down. I mean, 1-0 Argentina, how does that sound? Let me see exact goals. Exact goals for Argentina, or exact total goals, 1 goal plus 260. 0 would be plus 700. So how's this? Croatia decides we're going to just really play tight defense. We're going to double put the two fullbacks, right, bracket Messi. and we just don't want to give up a goal at all. If we get beat by some one of the young kids, or Martinez comes in, or Angel Di Maria comes off the bench, fine. But exact goals, +700 is +700. And then you go to penalty kicks, where Croatia's lethal, although Argentina did deliver against Netherlands. Boy, that was tense. So yeah, I would lean toward Argentina in all my bets in that one. We'll talk about Morocco and France tomorrow. As for Monday Night Football, there's some Sundays where you just have hit on everything and you're like, well, why am I going to mess it up with Patriots Cardinals? The only, like, the biggest edge, I would say, in this game is the obvious one. Bill Belichick against Cliff Kingsbury. Arizona doesn't even play well at home historically under Kingsbury. They did cover against the Chargers a couple weeks ago. Arizona's off the extra rest. You've got a total of 44, which seems a little bit low, because we saw Mac Jones against the Vikings when the Vikings defense was shoddy, and Arizona's pretty shoddy, and they love to, Vance Joseph loves to dial up the blitz. They can't get home with four. So now you've got Arizona blitzing a lot, a mediocre Arizona secondary. Ah, let's go below average. Below average Arizona secondary. Mac Jones can cook some stuff up here. All we've been hearing is, and I love to fade the narrative, oh, Matt Patricia stinks. Mac Jones has regressed. The offense is terrible. You got to go Arizona. What about the over? Over 44? Now, I know primetime unders have been just incredible. Chargers, Dolphins never sniffed the over. I did miss the over on Thursday with the Baker Mayfield revenge game against the Raiders. But, well, and by revenge, I mean like to the entire NFL, the mere fact that he's on a roster. So I would lean to the over on Patriots-Cardinals. If I find any props, I'll dump those on Instagram stories later today. But that's a long Monday podcast, guys. Thanks for listening. More tomorrow. Hopefully no more Gio Reyna drama, although I do love to talk about soccer. All right, talk to you then.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over three whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.